Hey, and welcome to the Joy Church podcast. If you'd like more information, check us out at www.joychurchnh.com or visit us in person at 55 Barnstead Road, Pittsfield, New Hampshire. We hope you enjoy and are blessed by this message. And now on to this week's sermon.
So this series that we've been in now for the Friendly Nuggets every single week, if you can remember one thing when you walk out of here on Sunday morning, then I think you're doing great. We cover so much, but I firmly believe what he wants you to hear and know every single week. And can I just say thank you for being here? Thank you for making God a priority in your lives and taking time to connect to this church body, this church family. So if this is your first time here, or even online, we say, welcome. We're honored that you chose to be with us this morning. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, thank you, God, for Joy Church, for all that is to come for your people as we come together to seek you and to love you with all our hearts, souls, minds, and strength. Holy Spirit, we want all you have for us. We want to hear your voice, and we want to follow you. And God, I believe that you have something special, something personal for every person in this room, those that are watching online today or whenever you prod them to watch this message. And we thank you, Lord, for speaking to each one of us personally. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well, let's go. We've talked about so many ways that God speaks to us. Our focus has been discerning the voice of God. How do we hear him? We practice listening more and making room in our lives to hear his voice. We know that he speaks through his word and his Holy Spirit. And then when we do hear him, how do we know that it's him speaking? Mike talked about in order to hear God's voice, we need to know his heart. And then some of the ways that we can know God is by the way he speaks personally to each one of us, and that he's persistent. Mike talked about that last week, persistent in his speaking to us. And we could never cover all the ways he speaks. There's way too many, but I feel like we're getting our feet wet, right? Maybe just dipping our toes in the water at least. And as a reminder, we're using this resource. In addition to the Bible, we're using this book called Discerning the Voice of God by Priscilla Shire. We still have some out in the Connection Hub. They're $10. If you like to read, it's really worth the read, just going deeper in this subject than what we do on Sundays. As we learn and as we grow in hearing and recognizing his voice, one of the secrets that I think is knowing first, why is it that he speaks? Why would God desire to speak to us? What are his goals? What is it that he wants to accomplish in speaking to us? Is it, you know, that he's just tired of our banters back and forth of whether pineapple is good on pizza or not? I say yes. Who says yes? Yes. Oh, good. Good majority. Maybe God is just tired of watching us try to put together our, you know, IKEA furniture without any instructions. Maybe he's just tired of listening to our petty arguments with our spouses or with other people that are we're in relationship with. Maybe it's those arguments about, you know, socks and underwear being left on the floor, or, you know, the good old toilet seat up or down. In our house, it's not the seat, it's the cover. We disagree whether the cover has to be put up or down. And we don't see eye to eye on that, you know, in-between pile of clothes. You know what I'm talking about? The ones that aren't dirty, but they're not clean. And where should they land? I say certainly not on the floor. But if you're one of those that puts your clothes, your in-between clothes on the floor, then you probably should talk to Pastor Mike after service and just find out what happens to clothes that are left on the floor. And just as a hint, it just might involve smelling cat pee in the middle of the day and realizing that it's on your own jeans that you're wearing. I'm just saying, you'll have to ask him, but it just might be that. But really, 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 though, why is it that God speaks to us? And we can know, like, whatever the answers to this question is, we can know that it's going to be opposite to the enemy's answer. We have a real enemy out there of our soul, Satan, the accuser, the one that comes to steal, to kill, and destroy. So it really behooves us to know the answer to the question of why God speaks, so that then we can decipher who it is that is actually speaking to us. And one of the things that we can see from God's word from the very beginning is his desire to have a friendship with us, a friendship with his people. And in the Old Testament, in the time, there was a barrier between God and his people, his followers. The high priest, he was the only one to have access to God, and only once a year on the Day of Atonement. That was the most important day of the year for Israel, the day when sacrifices would be offered to atone for people's sin. But even during this time, God made himself known to regular people like Gideon and Samuel and Hannah and others. God would come to them. Then comes Jesus, and everything changes. When he was crucified, the temple veil was torn, literally torn, symbolizing the access that all people can have with God. That barrier gone forever. Matthew 27:51 says, "And behold, the curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom, and the earth shook and the rocks were split." And then he goes even further and he puts his Holy Spirit in us so we can know him even more personally. Everything that we hear from God is designed to glorify him and to reveal his nature. Nothing, nothing we hear that comes from God through his Holy Spirit will ever contradict his word, his nature, or even lead us away from him and lead us away from the intimacy that we can have with him. The enemy, on the other hand, the devil, Satan, so many names for him, he will distort everything about God's character and his word. And so if you hear something that doesn't lead you to God and doesn't magnify God's character, it's simply not from him. Think about this. The enemy tries on him so desperately and completely. He doesn't want you to know God at levels of such deep intimacy. And that only usually occurs in the most difficult to experience God manifesting himself more peacefully and more powerfully than ever. Us knowing God better through challenging circumstances. Let me say that again. Us knowing God better through challenging circumstances is not part of the enemy's plan. And so when we respond in obedience to God's plan, we're preventing the enemy's plans and purposes. Amen is right. There's so much here for us to learn, for sure. But when God reveals himself to us, it's not for information purposes. It's for making himself known to us. He wants us to actually experience him. And like we talked about before, it might be uncomfortable. But he's encouraging us to discover and personally experience him, the one and only Holy God, Prince of Peace, our provider, our hope, our Savior, our Redeemer, the lover of our souls. John 16:14 tells us this: he will glorify and honor me because he, the Holy Spirit, will take from what is mine and will disclose it to you. The path that he takes us will always, always draw us closer to him. Places that we're able to experience him in a new and a deeper way. And I can tell you, I know this firsthand. A few years ago, Mike and I went through an extremely difficult season in our lives. I would call it stress on steroids. We had some major decisions to make, and a couple of them were largely mine to make. And one of those decisions I found very easy because of how God had spoken to me and how he had prepared me, reminding me of his faithfulness. The other one, the choice before me, was probably the hardest, and both involved incredible pain and consequences. It didn't make sense, the choice that was before us, and the cons of each choice, whichever. And then for a while, I would say a few months for sure, I couldn't hear God leading me in the direction that he ultimately wanted for me. Maybe I didn't want to hear him. I'm still not sure about that. I prayed. I argued. I cried. I yelled. How could I be in this position with such a difficult decision to make? And so over months, it felt like years, much prayer, conversation, godly counsel and wisdom, I made a decision. And I chose the path that only now can I clearly see was God's direction. I didn't see it at first. And I will admit to you that it was really 1 hour at a time, maybe. Probably mostly 1 second at a time, most days. Just 1 foot, 1 toe in front of the other. On my knees, Mike and I praying together for strength, for comfort, for guidance every single day. None of it was easy. Not even one breath, it felt like, came without pain. Lots more adversity to walk through choosing the path that we chose. Things to face, people to face, people to deal with. Some days, I would say many days, not believing that we would survive. It was so incredibly painful and difficult with Jesus. I can't imagine how we would have survived without him. Actually, I would go on record to say 100% believe we would not have. And now, today, over 4 years later, now we see how God has been glorified through it. Had I chosen the other path, God's glory would not have the opportunity to shine. We would not have grown in our intimacy with him the way that we did. We would not have seen his miraculous provision financially and emotionally like we did. We would not have seen our marriage flourish the way that it has. We took the most difficult path, at least that was our perception in the natural, I would say. And God showed up. Not only did he show up, he showed off. We would have never experienced him in the way we did had we chosen the path that at the time seemed, I hate to use this word, easier. Not easy by all means, but easier in many ways. We could have avoided a lot of things that we walk through. Shame, embarrassment, insecurity, fear, exhaustion, disappointment, anxiety, resentment, betrayal. But we also would not have experienced compassion, forgiveness, hope, grace, provision, friendship, unconditional love, supernatural strength. You name it. I'm sure I'm missing a few hundred others there. Through it all, we got to experience God in a new and a very intimate way. The God in this Bible that we talk about, we got to experience him not just through knowledge, but through actual intimacy and experiencing God himself, his provision, his goodness firsthand in our lives. He allowed us to encounter him in a way that we wouldn't have had the privilege of seeing or being a part of. So when God speaks, his desire is not for us to just receive this information so that we can apply it to our lives, but to be able to recognize who he is. That's abounding fullness of joy and strength for our spirit, our soul, and our body. Unconditional love. And so much more. And this is eternal life, that they know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. So God doesn't want us to just hear him for the sake of hearing him. He wants us to hear him, to experience him, so we can know him. That's why he speaks. God speaks to reveal more of himself to us and to take us from this information about him to experiencing him. Knowledge of him to knowing him, and we get to do that by responding in obedience to his voice. Just like Mike and I and what we went through, when God places you in a challenging situation or go into every crevice with you, and make no mistake, he will be glorified. You will come out knowing him in a deeper way and stand for something, right? When we dedicate children here, we usually look up their name. It's so cool. See what it actually means. And in the Bible, names often revealed specifics about someone's character or even their story. Maybe after years of her fervent praying, she named him Samuel, stating, "Because I have asked him of the Lord." David, the man after God's own heart, it's a Hebrew name meaning beloved. And Jesus means Yahweh is salvation. Well, the Bible also uses many names for God to help us to know things about him. Jehovah Jireh, God is our provider. Jehovah Rapha, God is our healer. El Shaddai, the all-sufficient God. Abba, he's your father. Jehovah Shalom, the Lord is peace. Jehovah Nissi, he will fight your battles. And there's so many, many more of those names. we can learn those names. You can learn them from me telling them to you. You can learn them from Scripture. But there's nothing like learning them firsthand from your experiences. God speaks to us to encounter Him in a way that we otherwise might not have the privilege of seeing or of being a part of. There's a whole book in the Bible called Job. If you're new to the Bible, you might be drawn to this book because you're thinking, I have to make a decision about a job. And you think, oh, it's a whole book about jobs. So I'm sure there's something in here that is going to help me. Well, don't feel bad, because job is spelled J-O-B, right? But this book is referring to a man's name, and we pronounce it Job. Job. So it's about a man, and his name is Job. He's a very wealthy and prosperous man. He has a large family, lots of kids and animals, his livestock. The Bible tells us in the very first chapter of Job that he had 7,000 sheep, 3,000 camels, 500 oxen, and 500 donkeys. Tells us he's a good man. He follows the rules. He feared God. And Job, he is so good that God boasts about him to Satan. He boasts about him. And Satan argues that Job is only good because God has blessed him and brought such favor on his life. And Satan tells God, or maybe challenges God, to go ahead and punish him. Punish him and see what happens. Because Satan says that Job will end up cursing God and turning on him. So God says, go ahead, Satan, have at it. Do whatever you want to him, but don't kill him. In one day, Job gets four different tragic messages. His animals, all his livestock, his servants, and all 10 of his children, all dead the same day. We think we have bad days, right? One day, everything is gone, and yet Job still blesses God in his prayers. Can you imagine? And so if that is not bad enough, Satan then brings these horrible, painful blisters, these sores all over Job's body. And then Job's wife even encourages him to curse God and to die. Imagine telling your spouse that. There's no hope for you. You should just go ahead and die. Curse the one that made you. But not Job. And then he has some great friends. Choose your friends wisely. Three of his friends, they come and they sit with Job in silence for 7 days. And Job curses the day he was born. He was in such agony, he wished that he had never been born. And then here are his friends, and this is what they say. Number one says, hey, well, remember when you used to provide comfort to others? You really never did understand their pain. And you know what? I think your pain must be from some sin you committed. Like, thanks for the encouragement. Think about that, though. Think about the conversations you have with people when they're struggling, when they're in pain, and what you say. The other two friends, they jump on the same bandwagon. They agree. Job must have committed some evil to offend God. They tell him that he needs to do better, that he needs to behave better. And then one of the two friends also suggests that Job's kids, they probably did things to bring their own deaths upon themselves. Oh, and by the way, Job, you probably even deserve worse than all of this that you are suffering. Can you imagine? Well, Job tells his friends that their wisdom is trash, which of course offends them. And Job processes and he continues to fear God and pursue wisdom and help. And then friend number four enters the scene. You think you'll be nicer? Nah. He also thinks that Job is or has done evil to cause all this. Then God. He talks to Job. He asks him some questions. And Job ultimately acknowledges God's unlimited power and the limitations of his own human knowledge. And the Bible says this pleased God. But God was upset with Job's friends, rightly so. And in the middle of all of Job's suffering, he pleads with God to forgive his friends. Jesus hasn't even been born and come to earth yet, but think of him on the cross. Forgive them, Father, for they know not what they do. So we get to see and hear the end of the story. And God does forgive Job's friends. And he gives Job back his complete health, a long life, more kids than he had before, double the amount of property, animals, all those things. God allowed all the pain and suffering in Job's life to enable Job to know him. He was able to reveal his power and his righteousness, his sovereignty. And Job, having been stripped of everything, so much of everything that gave his life meaning and satisfaction, Job was able to say, I had only heard about you before, but now I have seen you with my own eyes. It's exactly what God wants. And he will go to and allow every measure necessary to achieve it. Job, he had known about God, but now he knew him personally. The worship team would come. Please, whatever it is that you are going through right now, if it's confusing, if it's stretching, if it's painful, if it's awkward, if it's tiring, if it's embarrassing, or even if it's really exciting, God is using it all to help you hear him right in the midst of it. Ishan, a feeling like maybe you're not hearing him at all, the silence can be to encourage you to press into him in a way, and like me, and like Job, you might not be able to see it until you were through it or at the tail end of it. If endure the pain, the uncomfortableness, God's goal in your life and in mine, it's to take us from this place of knowledge of him to it's difficult. It makes obedience so much more difficult, sometimes even impossible. But the more we know and we believe because we actually are experiencing him, the more willing we are to trust, submit, and let us lead, let him lead us to his will for us. Remember what Mike talked about God speaking personally. So what he requires of you is not necessarily what he's going to require of me. God knows us. God knows you so personally, so intimately, even better than you know yourself. And he knows exactly what you need to experience him fully and completely. And he can be trusted. You can follow the sound of his voice to places and through circumstances where you're best positioned to walk in true intimacy with the lover of your soul. When you're listening for his voice, when you're at a crossroads, you're making a decision, you have options before you, ask yourself this. Ask yourself, which option will cause God to be most glorified? Which option will cause God to be most glorified and will in turn in me enable me to know him in a way that I wouldn't otherwise? Which path? It might not, and I'll go on record to say it probably won't be, in most cases, the easiest path. Wasn't for me, wasn't for Job, probably won't be for you. But you can be assured he will be with you and he will give you everything you need for this journey. And his goal is for us to know him. He wants us to know him. He wants us to experience him intimately, his power, his love, his forgiveness, his grace, his provision, the whole benefit package. He wants us to move from knowledge of him to knowing him through our experience with him. Maybe you're here this morning, maybe you're watching online, you're just starting to learn about God and his love for you, and you feel him calling you today. Maybe your heart's starting to beat fast. He's offering you a free gift, the best gift that you have ever received in your life. You get to choose to open it, to accept his love, to receive his forgiveness today, and to start a brand new life with him. God sent his one and only Son, Jesus. He sent him to earth to live and to die, to make himself known and available to all of us in such a simple way. And our first step in knowing God is just to receive his Son, Jesus. The Bible tells us the only way to God is through Jesus. No one comes to the Father except through me, in John 14:6. So you have the beautiful opportunity today to say yes to Jesus. And yes, it's that simple. You can just pray with me And if you're new to Joy Church, nobody ever prays alone at Joy Church, right, guys? No one prays alone. We all pray together. So just pray after me. Lord Jesus, I recognize my need for you. Be my Lord and Savior. I receive your love today. Forgive me of my sins. Give me new life. I surrender to you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Congratulations. For some of you just received, you just opened that gift, the best gift that you will ever receive. And we want to know. We want to know. You can tell somebody sitting next to that, or you can send us an email at info@joychurchnh.com. You're not alone. You're not alone on this incredible journey, walking with you, with our lives, because we know you love and you care for us. God, you know us better than we know ourselves. Lord, give us courage in challenging seasons, knowing that you are with us and that we will see your power and your provision, and you will be glorified. And we know, God, in all things, your goal is to shine your glory, and we want to see it. God, I pray for every person here today and online, that you would make yourself known in their life, not just through knowledge, but through experience, even the most difficult ones. We just thank you and we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.
We hope you enjoyed this message and were blessed by what you learned. If you'd like to hear more of our podcasts or to get more information about our church, head to our website at www.joychurchnh.com. We look forward to hearing from you and sharing with you next Sunday's sermon. Until then, we love you and there's nothing you can do about it.